Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Women Like Me, Stories and Business. I am Julie Fairhurst. I'm the founder of the program, and I am here today with the lovely Louisa Thiessen, who is going to be discussing a lot of business stuff with us today. And if you are out in the workforce, or even if you're working at home on your own, you're going to want to listen to this entire video. Because even in my just little bit of conversations with her, I've already had a few aha moments for myself. So, Louisa, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me and having here. It's an honor to be here with you and speaking to your audience.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so let's start by you telling us just a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
So I am an online business manager. That's what people call me nowadays. Technically, I'm a business manager because I don't just manage online businesses. I am the owner and founder of Admin Virtuosa, which is an administrative consultant agency. The idea behind my agency is to be the one-stop shop for all administrative needs. Right now, I am the business manager. I have virtual assistants on my team, content strategist, and I also have a bookkeeper on my team. So I've just been expanding since. And it's been a fun ride. It's nice to be able to put my expertise and my studies into my own business instead of helping the corporate world, I guess, sort of say.
Yes. And so when I was looking up a little bit of information about you, you used to live in New York City?
Yes, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I lived there for 25 years.
Wow.
My career began there, corporate world. I was like the typical corporate New York City girl. And then I met my husband in New York. He's Canadian. And after we got married, we decided that we should move to Canada. At first, when he asked me to move with him, I was like, no, because why would I move to Canada? Yeah. And then I was like, you know, let's try it, give it a year, and haven't looked back since. It's been quite the journey. It's different. Everyone's so kind and nice and polite here. And then I'm a New Yorker, so I come across a little more bluntly, but I've learned.
Well, that's good. Well, I personally have never been to New York, but it's on the bucket list. I've been to lots of places, but New York is not one of them yet.
But try to go for Christmas time. It is like the best time.
Oh, I've heard that. Beautiful. I'll remember that. So what were you doing in New York? Do you want to tell us a little bit about because you had a little bit of trauma working with the company that you were with. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what your role was there and how that all
unfolded? For sure. So I worked in a lot of different places. I shouldn't say a lot. Two, three different places in New York. I thought I put my phone on DND and my computer on DND. It's not on DND. I apologize for that.
No worries at all.
So I started my career in an architect firm. That was my first thing. And it was great. I loved the hustle and bustle of corporate world. And then I did study business management. And then through that, I got an elective course in psychology, developmental psychology, which sparked a new passion for me because I was like, oh, this is amazing. I love learning about people. So then I decided to minor in community and human services. Through that, I was pursuing how I could give back to the community, work for a nonprofit organization, because I was just passionate about helping people. So I started working for a nonprofit organization, and it was a place that I really looked up to. Like, they helped inner city children. I was one of the inner city children that they helped as well. And it was a dream job. I was like, yes, I landed this job. This is great. I'm putting my expertise to good use. And within the first 6 months, I realized that something was up. So I started working as the administrator of the youth and adolescent department. So my job consisted of creating events, managing finances and pretty much helping the manager. That was what I signed up for. What happened was I ended up doing the job of everyone. Wow. It was a team. In that department in itself, it was a team of three. But in the organization of itself, there were other staff members. So what I wasn't told is that me working in the youth department also meant that I had to help with children, and I also had to help with adults. So I was involved in every single aspect of that organization. And I look back on my work schedule, Julie, and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. Wow. So I would work Tuesdays to Sundays, crazy hours. I thought that Tuesday through at least Thursday or Friday would be 9 to 5.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Like Wednesdays, I wouldn't get home till maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock, because there was a service there, which I thought I would have more support in that department, which I didn't. Wow. Then Saturdays was the biggie. So on Saturdays, I would be up. I had to be at work at 8:30 in the morning. And then I didn't get home from work till maybe 11 o'clock at night, because there was kids events, youth events, and adult events that I all had to participate in. And not to mention all the other weekly activities that I had to come up with, manage, implement, all that with very, very little support.
That sounds like a lot. I mean, that sounds like you were doing the job of 20 people.
Yeah, it felt like it too. And wow. I thought I clued on to something being wrong, like within 6 months, like I said, but then it was because the environment was just like, you just got to do it, get your emotions out of it and just suck it up. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a wimp. I'm going to suck it up. And I was young. I was early 20s. I didn't know anything about burnout. I didn't know that my body would give up on me. I didn't know any better. Right? In my mind, I'm like, I'm doing good. And this is what it takes to do good. Right. I'm serving the community and this is what it takes. And it wasn't until like my body fully like gave up. I remember I would wake up. This was like 3 years in. I would wake up and I was like puking and shaking and depressed. Like the depression that I had was bizarre. And people would just call me a pessimist. And I had a bad attitude because I would snap at people. But now that I'm out of it and now that I've learned, I'm like, well, no, I was like, I had anxiety and I had depression. Someone should have like clued in, because I went from being this very bubbly, happy person, happy to serve the community, to being completely miserable. And I was an ogre, like pretty much.
Yeah.
And no one clued on. No one knew how sick I was, except for my husband, because he would see me every morning. No one knew that I was sick and just taking Pepto. Because I had a stomach ache, I was puking,
So what did you think was going on with you at that time? I mean, you're young, right? But what did you think was happening?
I just thought that my stomach was just having some gastrointestinal issues. Like that's just what I thought. I didn't think it was a stress response or any of that. Like, I thought it was just a normal thing, and because I wasn't eating healthy either. Right. I was just eating on the go. So I was like, oh, I would tell myself I need to eat healthier so I can stop puking.
Yes.
And nothing. And then I would be jittery. And then I was like, I need to stop drinking coffee because I'm jittery. The coffee, the caffeine is making me anxious, is making me jittery. Right. I didn't use the term anxious because I didn't even know it was anxiety.
No.
It's like, oh, coffee. Like I need to take that out of my life. Like,
So it sounds like you started eliminating things, but mm-hmm. it was the job that needed to be eliminated.
Yep. And I didn't realize until after I moved. So when I moved to Canada, it was a blessing in disguise. Like when I moved, I wasn't able to work because I didn't have a work visa my permanent residency, because that's what I applied for.
Yes.
So I was stuck at home and I was studying. I was doing online courses to complete my community and human services degree. And we learned about burnout. So I had to submit a paper on burnout. And as I'm like writing things out, I was like, wait a minute, this is what happened to me. And then it dawned on me that I wasn't puking after I moved. I wasn't as jittery after. I was exhausted. I was drained. I was still dealing with depression and I felt like a failure, but like I didn't have all the other symptoms. So then that's where I was like, oh, okay, this is burnout and I need help, because once I go back to work, I'm going to have these issues. I'm going to have this anxiety.
Yeah.
So then I went to counseling and then they helped me. And I would say even when I got my first job out here, it was in a corporate field, and it was back where I started. Like, I should have been booming with confidence.
Yes.
And I didn't have any. Like, I was just terrified that I was going to screw up, terrified that I would be sick. Oh. And I remember talking to my counselor about it, and she would give me like tips on how to like manage it, and then it helped. And in turn, I was able to use that experience to help the managers and be like, hey, from my experience, this can happen. So how about we do this? And I learned, well, I was able to implement proper systems that they didn't have. And that boosted my confidence in that. And then after that position, I went on to be an administrator of a bigger corporation where I managed the business, and I also was the executive assistant. And I was pretty much in charge of managing the staff and making sure that they were doing okay.
Yeah.
And because I've had that personal experience, I had a personal approach where I would like go and be like, hey, you've been working a lot of hours. How are you doing? Talk to me, right? So that helped me develop empathy towards people and perfect my craft, sort of say.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, you know, people who are so efficient, like from listening to you, you must have been so efficient. So like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. I'm doing what I'm told, all of those kinds of things. And I think what happened, I'm not an expert in the field, but you know, I think what happens is, oh, let's get Louisa to do it because, you know, Louisa can do it. And then next thing you know, people are dumping more and dumping more and dumping more. They don't typically dump stuff on people that are slow moving and, you know, take a lot of time to get things done and those kinds of things. I think it's the people, the A personalities that typically get things dumped on them. And then we take it on. Because right on, we're going to, you know, we can do it until one day our body says no. And I think that it's amazing that at such a young age, your body said no. Because I think a lot of people in the world just go for many, many years and then get to a point maybe 20 years or 25 years down the road where they just lose it and they're done.
Yeah, you know, I never thought of it like that, Julie. I guess I'm lucky in the sense that my body let me know early on.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I bet it made it easier to come back, like to recover too, right?
Yes. Yes, for sure. Yes. It's, yeah. I mean, if anybody out there is listening or watching, think about what's going on in your life, in your workplace, and maybe not even your workplace, but I think sometimes too, just family. Family can dump on people, you know, and you're the savior or whatever you want to call it. And next thing you know, all the family members are complaining about so-and-so and dumping. And next thing you know, they're getting burnt out. It doesn't necessarily have to be a workplace.
Nope. Family plays a role in it. Friendships. I've adapted this rule. Well, I've always said, as I got older, I would say my 30s, I'm very particular with who I spend time with and hang out with, because you can experience relational burnout. You can hang out with friends, pour out your all, and they just take. And then next thing you know, you're burned out, you're depleted. And this friend that's supposed to be there for you is not. And the same with family, right? I've experienced where family members have burnt me out, and I've unfortunately had to distance myself. And it's a painful thing to have to distance yourself from family, but you have to do it in the long run. You have to do what's best for you. And I think I realized that after I became a mom, because what was happening, like family and friends were taking from me. And as they were taking from me, they were also taking from my kids, because I also didn't have the same capacity that I had for my children. Right. And that's when I was like, okay, my kids are my priority. For those of you not many people know, I have a 5 and 6 year old, my kids were my priority. And I was like, okay, if I give energy to that, then that's taken away from this. And I can't do that. Right. And I find a lot of, and like the mental health space. So I deal with depression and anxiety. Right. And I find that people underestimate how relationships and contact with people affects your depression and your anxiety, right? And you have to kind of be hypervigilant in that, especially as a business owner or as a parent, right? Because like I said, everything you give energy to takes away from energy from something else, right?
You know, I know a lot of stuff, but I'm the way you just said that, I never ever thought of it in those terms. And thank you for that, because I'm sure there's a whole bunch of us out there, especially women, who are sitting there right now thinking, right, if I deplete myself at my job, or if I let my friends deplete me or my family members deplete me, how am I going to have the energy to be a good mom, or, you know, a good wife, or whatever it is that you've got to take care of in life? And yeah, I loved how you just said that. I've never thought of it in those terms before, but it's that trickle down effect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep at it, because unfortunately you will be labeled. Once you set a boundary and someone doesn't like it, you will be labeled, and you have to be confident and own it. It's like, well, you think that of me, but in reality, this is what's really happening. And just direct your attention to what really matters. Yeah. Right?
So what kind of tips can you give to, say, women in the workplace, because that's pretty much what we're talking about today. Like, what kind of tips can you give them if maybe they're not sure if they're burning out? Like, what kind of things would they be experiencing, do you think? Other than throwing up.
I think that a lot of women have a spark when they go to work. They're excited to go to work. Not every single day. Do you have some off days when you're tired or whatever? But if it's consecutive, if it's like been going on for months that you hate going to work, that's a first sign. So what I would suggest is sit down, journal, make a list, whatever it is that you do, and analyze what are things in your workplace that you don't appreciate, things that are sucking the life out of you, and look at it and analyze and decide you're going to communicate. If you're in a corporate world, depending on how big your organization is, you should have a human resources manager. If you don't, there's got to be either supervisor, manager, CEO, whoever, address it. And if they don't understand and they're not willing to help you, then run. That is all I can say. Just run. There's plenty of opportunity. It could be hard to just drop everything and leave. Be wise about it, especially if your family is depending on your income. Start looking for a different job.
Yeah.
Another thing that can help is taking time off. A lot of us do not take the time off that we are entitled to in the corporate world. If you're an entrepreneur, technically you're not entitled to time, because, I mean, you're self-employed, right? You should. Actually, I take that back. You are entitled to time off if you're an entrepreneur. You just have to plan a little wiser with it. Anyways, if you're in a corporate world, take the time off. Okay. Don't let it go to waste because your boss needs you. It doesn't matter, because the fact of the matter is, if you burn out and quit, you will be replaced. You are not irreplaceable. And I had to learn that, because I will give my all. And then when I resigned, to find out how quick I was replaced, I was like, oh, like, okay. So, and not irreplaceable. If you're an entrepreneur, that's different. If you're the business owner, very different, right?
Yes.
But then time off. What I've done for myself that's been helpful, I started doing CEO retreats, and I use that for different things. One day I'm like planning, casting vision, strategically planning for my business. The other day I'm choosing to relax and go out for dinner, treat myself, right? When I take time off from work to be with my family, I unplug completely. The business can wait. Like, the business is not going to burn down. Well, if your business is going to burn down with you not working in it, then we need to talk, because we need to streamline your operations and you need some assistance.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, for sure.
You are not the business. Okay. You have to operate as two different entities, right? Even though you're sole proprietor, I find that we go fall into this, oh, we're sole proprietors, the business is me. That's not healthy, and you will burn out. You will burn out.
Yeah.
And counseling, that's another tip.
Yes.
Don't underestimate the power of a counselor. And I'm glad that the stigma is slowly being chipped at. Yes. Because just because you go to counseling doesn't mean you're weak, doesn't mean you're crazy. Actually, going to counseling means you're strong and you're wise.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah. So those were the tips that I would suggest. Yeah. And another thing, just put it out there, if you want to talk about your symptoms, burnout, confidentiality, I am not a counselor, but I'm happy to chat one-on-one with you and give you some pointers. Sometimes you just need a venting session.
Yeah.
And someone to give you a little kick and be like, okay.
Well, that's wonderful of you. And I hope that anybody who's listening or watching that's feeling that and they don't really have anyone to talk to or they don't know what to do, just reach out. She is a lovely lady and very easy to talk to. And she's going to know exactly what you're going through. So let's switch our conversation just a little bit, because I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about your business as well, because I think that the burnout, I just feel like even like we're talking about all of this burnout, but then here you are to help business owners not end up burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I I think that's wonderful. So do you want to tell us, let me just see here. Oh, I saw the roadmap to success. What's that about?
So the roadmap to success is pretty much a do-it-yourself kind of service. I created the service specifically for solopreneurs, if I can say, who are not quite ready to onboard someone on their team, but they need the help from a strategic business partner. So in this service, we have a 90-minute consultation. And in there, it's literally a brain dump. You tell me all your goals and visions for the year. We start with the year. And then through that, I am thinking, okay, what can we accomplish in the next 3 months? So you don't notice that in the conversation most of the time that I'm like getting tidbits.
Yes.
After this conversation, I create an annual plan with all your goals and list it out. This is what you want to do. From there, I take the top three goals to help you get closer to your annual goal, business goals. After the 3 day, the 3 month plan, which is a 90 day plan, essentially, I go and I break it down and I have an extensive list of every single thing that you need to do. An example of this, let's say you want to have passive income in your business. Right. Okay. How are we going to get passive income? We're going to create a course. Cool. You want to create a course? This is what you need to do to create a course. What topic are you going to use? What course platform you're going to use? Once you get your course platform, create the course, create the slides, all this stuff. And not only that, there's dates on it. Because I find that a lot of us and a lot of people struggle with the accountability. We're like, yeah, we're going to do it. And then they don't. Right. So there's a due date. Yes. On every single task. And during the time where it's due, you have accountability. You have me, myself, like messaging, I'll email you, be like, hey, Julie, did you get this done? And if you say, well, no, and you give me some excuse or whatever, I'll be like, okay, let's push this back by a day or two and I'll reach out. We need to get this done. Right. So you have me from 90 days. Hounding you. It's very versatile and it's actually quite fun for me. This is one of my favorite services and I'm so glad you mentioned it. I love doing it because it could work for any business, any goal. Like it can help a coach. I've helped a coach with that. I've helped another like business manager set up their annual goals. I find that it helps mostly, I would say either the end or the beginning of the year. I'm going to say mostly. It's more beneficial at the end or beginning of the year, because you have your annual plan laid out, right?
Yes.
And then you can stay strong, right?
Yes.
So if the person, after the 90 days, if the client wants another roadmap to success, they get it at a discount price because I'm no longer having to create an annual plan. Mm-hmm. I have the annual plan.
Right.
Right. We're just creating the next list of the next set of goals.
Yeah.
To get you, right. So it's clearly planning essentially. And it helped me in my business. I would say when I first started my business, which I'm embarrassed to admit, I was a mess. I was winging it.
And the reason why I think a lot of us do. So thank you for being honest.
I think when it dawned on me, I'm okay with everyone else winging it. But yeah. I was like, I'm a business major. What the heck is wrong with me? So the roadmap to success, that's what I was doing for myself. And then I was like, oh, I can help others with doing it. So I do this every 90 days. I'm sitting down and laying down my goals. I've already planned. I have my annual plan for 2024. I've got my goals from January to April or March. I think it's April. And then I'll keep doing it. And it's helped. It gives me like tunnel vision, helps me stay focused, stay put.
Yes.
And
I am so... goal setting and following a system is the way that you keep yourself, focused. And it really is the road to success, because if you're not focused and you don't have your goals, then you're just kind of winging it, and then you're wasting money over here because, oh, I thought I'd try that and then that didn't work. And then I thought I'd do it over here. You know, my background is real estate. And so I've had 33 years as a realtor. And I've been with only two companies during that entire time. But I see realtors come into the business and they'll be in an office for, a short period. And then they're like office jumpers. And they think, oh, this office is going to be better. This office is going to be better. It has nothing to do with the office. It has to do with you and goals, getting your goals and getting your systems and just working at it. And when you're office jumping like that, you're starting again and then starting again and then starting again. So I love that. I love that system that you've got. Oh, I have to think about that. That is really good.
Yeah, when you mentioned real estate, like the realtors, the first job that I got in Canada was in a real estate office. Oh. And it was like 150 realtors. And the chaos, Julie.
Yes, I know.
They're like bouncing one thing to the other. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like I had the conveyancing too, and some of like the contracts and stuff. I'm like, focus, right? So I've seen the like bouncing from one office to the other, and they think that's gonna solve the problem. And it's not. Like, you are the problem. And it's the same with people who hire virtual assistants. I have a system in my business that in order to get one of the virtual assistants in my team, because you're not going to burn out my VA, let me tell you. You have to have some kind of strategy. You have to have some kind of system. And if you don't have any of that, then I can help you. And then from there, we'll graduate to a virtual assistant. But what I found is that people are hiring virtual assistants left, right, and center. And then blaming them because they're terrible, when in reality, they weren't the problem. You're the problem, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I think when people realize that, I think it's the whole accepting that you're not always right and that you need help and that you need systems. Yes. It's a good thing, right? Yes. It doesn't mean that you're terrible. It just means you need help and you need to accept it.
The first 18 months of my business, I went bankrupt. I stood in line at food banks. It was nasty. But, there was a higher power that said, come on, Julie, pick yourself up. This is where you're supposed to be. And it was where I was supposed to be. But what changed it for me, and I'm not even joking, I went into the office one day, sat at a plain desk, nothing there, and said, okay, what do I need to do? And I started writing it all out and I developed my own systems. And then for 33 years, I followed those systems and they worked. And now my two boys are realtors and they follow those systems.
Amazing.
Yeah. And sure, you have to adjust with technology and stuff as you go along. But it's so true. If we don't have a system, you're just going like this. And you're doomed for failure without a system. Or if you're one of the lucky ones that kind of works their way through it, but there's going to be chaos and all sorts of craziness going on. Anyway, I don't know if I got off track a little bit there, but I'm so somebody that believes in systems. So what do you think then if business owners are listening to us, which I'm sure some are, why would they want to hire your company? What will your company do for them?
I think the biggest advantage from our company, because you will find a lot of virtual assistant agencies and a lot of business managers, the difference with us is that we actually care. And people can actually say, oh, we care, but they don't. Right. I personally have studied developmental psychology and community and human services. So each of our services are tailored to the client's needs. Every single project that we get goes through me, and I'm analyzing. People don't actually know this, but I'm going to call. I'm analyzing their personality. I'm able to tell whether they're a visionary leader. I'm able to kind of tell whether they are a very hands-on leader. And through that, I'm able to develop a plan. And because I have, and the plan is to continue growing and adding different team members with different skill sets and different capacities, I'm able to link someone with the right person. Or if we're doing business management and I do all the business management and systems implementation, I'm working closely, like one-on-one, asking all the right questions. It's kind of, and people have actually asked me if I'm a coach, and I'm just like, no, I'm not a coach. And people say, well, you should be. And I said, well, no, I'm too much of a doer. That is the difference between being a coach. I can't just sit there and be like, well, you need to do this, Julie. No, I'm like, let's do this, right? Yeah. So maybe more of a mentorship. Mm-hmm. Everything is literally customized through it. And I think that's where people would want to come with me and come with my company. And all the virtual assistants, well, all the subcontractors on my team are actually experts in their field. I do not cheap out on hiring people for my team. Everyone on my team have done work for me, with the exception of one, my bookkeeper, I would say, Shania. But Shania and I took a course together when we started our virtual assistant business. So I know Shania closely, right?
Yes.
So the process of becoming an admin virtuoso, that's what we call ourselves, is extensive. You need to show me that you know what you're doing. I need to be one of your clients, essentially. Like I had an internship at one point, and it's still running. And then from there, I decide based on your skill set if it's up to par to the level of excellence that we want to provide.
I was just going to say, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's so many small business owners, I'm talking mainly to females, but, you know, of course we work with men as well, but mainly female. And I don't know if it's fear or what it is, but I can see, you know, I come from more of a sales and marketing background. So I look and I'm like, it's so easy. Like, you just need to do this little bit and this little bit and this little bit. But yet they don't. They just, and I know that they're not going to build. They just can't. And so from what you're saying, like, you actually have, if I remember correctly, a bachelor's in business. Yes. Okay. Well, I don't have a bachelor's in business. Right. But you know what I'm saying? So we need to use each other. Mm-hmm. Where we lack, you know, someone else might have a strong knowledge in a certain area where I lack or where you lack. And so, yes, like, I'm not a bookkeeper. Right. So I just feel that if anybody's out there listening and they're not sure what to do, get a little bit of help. You don't, you know, just find someone, talk to Louisa, just get a little bit of help that can help you just to slowly get your business up and running. Because if you don't, where are you going to be in a year? Where are you going to be in 2 years? Where are you going to be in 5 years? Because the saddest thing, in my opinion, because I've dealt with this in life a lot, is not moving forward and living the same 30 days over again, the same 6 months over again, the same year over again, and some people, the same life, every over and over and over, that dealing with the same problems, the same issues, and never really moving forward. So I would just encourage everybody out there that, you know, don't be afraid. Where, you know, everybody is, everybody's, and I thought most people are so helpful. And I even give my time. I had a lady the other day who's got a book. She didn't know how to put it onto Amazon. I spent an hour with her. I didn't charge her. I'm, you know, quite happy to help when I can help and when I have the time to help. And I think that's what it's all about. You know,
it's valuing community, I would say. And as you were talking, I was reminded of it. When we start a business, a lot of us, especially us women, we start off alone. We're solopreneurs. But as you grow, you are not meant to run your business on your own. You can Google all the things. And I think that's a dangerous thing because we have so many tools online that we're like, oh, we'll just go Google it. We'll just go take a course. We're not designed to run the business on our own. If you're trying to scale, like you can't do your bookkeeping. You can't be the face of your business. You can't manage your operations. Like, you're going to burn out, right? Yes. And I think when you start off as a solopreneur, your goal should be to expand your team. And it's also very hard to do. And I've found, and it breaks my heart because what people have done is they go and hire someone out of desperation without doing research, and then they get burned. Mm-hmm. And they think, okay, this is bad news. I'm not going to hire anyone. It's better if I do it myself, right? Mm-hmm. But not everyone out there is going to burn you. But if you keep going, and going and going like in a hamster wheel, you will burn yourself out. And if you're a solopreneur, when you burn out, your business is burning with you. Yes. That's just a fact in the matter.
And that is so sad because it's their dreams, their goals, you know, mm-hmm. they're one of the things that I experienced in real estate years ago is that it's very expensive to be a realtor. It's very expensive. People who aren't in the business just don't understand. And the saddest thing that I found was, I remember this one lady, I'll never forget it. She was quitting because she was just so far in debt and she wasn't making it. And the manager of the office actually walked her across the street to the bank to co-sign a loan to cover her office bill.
Wow.
Before she quit. And I just remember, it makes me teary eyed. And I just think, you know, like how sad, not only did you lose your dream, but you left in debt.
Yeah.
Like it's there's just, okay, ladies, get some help out there.
Yes, please. <Come on. laughs>
So do you have any final words of wisdom that you would like to share with our audience before we close, Louisa?
Listen to your gut and listen to your body. And I don't mean listen to your gut when you're hungry. If you feel that something's off, in whether you're in a corporate world or you have a client and you're an entrepreneur, pay attention to it. Your body keeps the score. Your body is telling you things, right? And just take the time to listen. And also act on it. Okay. If this means you have to resign from a position, there are other positions out there. It is not worth your health. And I get emotional as I think of it. It's not worth getting up and puking. Like, especially if you're a mom, I'm so thankful that I didn't have kids back then because I cannot imagine so depleted that way. Right. So run before it's too late. And if you need support in your business, if you're a solopreneur, if you need support, reach out. Reaching out is free. I do free consultations, 30-minute consults. If you're wondering if my services are good for you, reach out. It's a free consult. If you have quick questions, shoot me a message. Like, it takes a village, really. And I'm not going to penny and dime you for a quick message on Facebook. Like, no. And I've extended so much grace and help from other experts myself. And I want to pay it forward however possible.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Louisa. So now remember, I will have all of the details of how you can reach out to Louisa if you would like to in the details section of the podcast and of the video. And so don't be shy. Take her up on it. You know, if you have a quick question or you need to get a consultation done, you know, don't sit there and watch your business go down the tubes. There's lots of good people out there that can help. And Louisa is definitely one of them. So thank you so much, Louisa. We will talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Bye.